Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
KGMZ-FM and HD1 and KGMZ San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome. We're going to have a Tuesday trifecta coming up for you at the bottom of the hour. Your chance to call in around one topic, three questions based around it. And we're going to be talking about hotheads. And we certainly got a hothead in our town, a hothead on the mound for the Giants last night. And a hothead is moving to the disabled list today with a fracture in his hand. Hunter Strickland, who coughed up a 4-2 lead in the ninth last night, broke his hand afterwards, punching, a wall, a blackboard, a locker, an inanimate object. Bruce Bochy had this last night to say about Hunter Strickland.
Yeah, I think you look at the job he's done. There's no reason to have a leash on him. He's really pitched well. I mean, the numbers show that, and he probably would take a couple of pitches back tonight, I'm sure. But, you got to stay behind these guys, especially when they're doing a great job. And that's why he had a shot there in the ninth to get that last hitter. I like the matchup. And, he just carved it down the right field line.
Here's the deal. Strickland, he at least faces the music, right? He's always there to answer media questions. And last night, he wore it a little bit.
I mean, that's unacceptable. I mean, Suarez went out there and did a heck of a job today. Sammy came in and picked him up, and, obviously I let it down.
What's really letting your team down is breaking your hand in a meathead moment that obviously came before that, and he was feeling as he was saying all those contrite things. Do you think his hand was swelling up on him, or did he say all those contrite things and then punch the door? I wish we had a little more clarity on that timeline. How about this for a timeline? Earlier on today's show, we were talking with Alex Pavlovich about how, Strickland really has not had a bad season. His ERA was right around 2. Yeah, he had a few blown saves, one of them via a fielding error earlier in the year. Strickland is kind of a hothead, and you need to be a little bit of a hothead to maybe close major league games. Here's what Alex Pavlovich had to say.
He's not going to get the benefit of the doubt. And when he goes out and pitches the way he did last night and then kind of exasperates that, kind of adds on to it with what he did with Brinson, I just think it just kind of brings back a lot of feelings for people. And that's why, as you said, he ended up trending pretty high on Twitter. And hopefully he didn't click on it, because I think you saw the Giants fans are pretty quick to turn on closers. And especially with a guy that's had some of the issues that he has had over the years.
Giants fans are quick to turn on closers. They're really quick to turn on closers who can't help because they're not healthy. If you don't believe me, ask Mark Melancon. How's the Giants fan base been on Mark Melancon? The guy hasn't been around long enough to really show you anything, and people can't stand him because he's been hurt. Hurt means you ain't helping. Hunter Strickland no longer helping. So what, Dyson? Dyson going to be your closer now? They're not going to go back to Melancon, maybe Watson? Hunter Strickland got into it last night with Lewis Brinson, who, we even talked about this with Pavlovich. Brinson's a rookie. Brinson is just showing a little bit of excitement and the never-can-have-any-fun combination of Madison Bumgarner and Hunter Strickland. Look, and I love Bumgarner, right? Bumgarner is as big of a baseball hothead meathead as you're going to find. He really is. That guy has zero sense of humor about him. The amount of major leaguers who approach their careers and their nights to pitch as serious as cancer and take any display of emotion against them as a personal affront to them? You're wearing out your welcome in baseball. Hunter Strickland's wearing out his welcome on the field and off the field. That's ridiculous. Hunter Strickland last night.
I mean, I was probably rushing a little bit, I guess. Nothing seemed to be right and working for me. So, it just sucked in general.
You know what sucks? Wasting that performance out of Andrew Suarez. Suarez was good enough. Jeez, that's something else. So, guess what? Hunter Strickland's got a broken hand. Yet another Giant is hurt. Yet another Giant is about to miss a significant chunk of time. And this was right in their season where they were about to start to turn things around with a long homestand. And, hey, I mean, they're not having a bad year given the fact that everybody's hurt or there's somebody new getting hurt all the time. I mean, how much expectation can you have for a team that can't even get a healthy team out on the field? They've actually done a decent job, all things considered, but it never gets any easier around these parts. Some things in baseball we get very used to around these parts, like the A's front office group. We know that Melvin in the dugout, Billy Bean in the front office, or maybe a tick above the front office. Now David Forst is there. It's pretty much standard operating procedure. Well, Slussbaum, Susan Slusser, yesterday, late in our show, so late we didn't even really have time to get to it. Susan Slusser dropped a little bit of a whoa on the entire Bay Area baseball world with a column basically saying Billy Bean, Bob Melvin, David Forst, next season might be the last for all three. With no long-term contract extensions on the table and team owner John Fisher, he's going to decide to maybe head in a different direction here. More likely, Bean, Oakland's vice president of baseball ops, might take a step back to allow GM David Forst to run the whole show. What happens next with Bob Melvin is anyone's guess. Susan said, A's ownership denied the Yankees' request to interview Melvin last winter for their opening managerial job, but then turned around and didn't offer him a new contract. And as baseball is generally conducted, that move is at the very least a faux pas, if not downright insulting to the man. Susan goes on to write, the A's are taking on more of a tech firm vibe with sleek new offices in Jack London Square that include a batting cage, a gym, cafeteria. Few long-term employees have been let go or encouraged to go elsewhere. A few have jumped over to the Giants already. Many more have sent their resumes there. The A's have hired more than 50 people in the past 18 months, and a new era has dawned. Susan connects both sides of the bay to this story, which is basically like, what's next? Because, look, Giants executive vice president of baseball ops, Brian Sabian, GM Bobby Evans, and manager Bruce Bochy have all been so entrenched for so long, it's hard to think of a future without them. But guess what? That day is coming. Could any of the A's bigwigs, if they really are going to be on the outs, what if these guys just need fast track to find their next job? You cross the Bay Bridge, boom. Hey, do you have to pull the kids out of school? No, you don't. Mm-mm. Do you have to move? No, you don't. Maybe it adds a couple BART stops to your commute, a bridge to your commute. But this is kind of interesting stuff. The fact that the A's have historically extended existing contracts out for several years, way before guys got to their lame duck seasons, highlights what lame ducks so many of these guys are. Then you got the fact that Billy Bean, he retains a small ownership stake in the A's. So just joining another team means he's going to a competitor of a team that he owns. Like, the commissioner is going to have to get involved. I mean, there's a part of me that thinks, well, Billy Bean, if he steps away from the A's, he's going to step away from all of baseball. He's not going to be looking to cross the bay. He's going to look to go to Europe and be the GM or some advisor for some soccer club.
Team, yeah. I mean, could they buy him out, I suppose? It would cost a lot of money.
It would cost an awful lot of money. And, you know, if I'm Billy Beane, I think I'm smart enough to realize that, hey, even a small slice of the ownership pie will be worth more tomorrow, no matter what you decide it's worth today. So I'd be crazy to sell it today because it's going to be worth more tomorrow. When you think about an A's future without that triumvirate being at the stick, when you think about the Giants' future without their triumvirate calling the shots, it's just it feels foreign. It feels like a different language because we've been so entrenched. Like, Billy Beane is canon to the A's. Brian Sabian is canon to the Giants. Like, you can't change what's canon, but it's going to happen. By the way, when you're talking about that type of canon, only one N.
Yes.
I learned that the hard way with a mistake on the Twitters.
It happens.
These things do happen. Very interesting times indeed. How about yesterday being our de facto second version of baseball's opening day, and today we get Strickland last night blowing a save and then blowing up his hand.
Punching the door.
Maybe the A's blow it all up when it's all said and done. You know, John Fisher, what are you going to do? Susan Slusser is going to join us at 6 o'clock to talk about all this. Here's what she already had to say.
I've been hearing whispers for a long time on all of this. I've been asking the people who should be asked about when are contracts going to be possible. As you see, I talked to Dave Cavill. I've talked to a lot of other people. The fact that they have not been in the offing, and we're here in late June of 2018, that's, you know, at some point I thought, I'm going to have to write this because it's starting to get to crunch time. What I hope is that John Fisher looks at this because he's clearly calling all the shots these days, particularly with now Lou Wolfe is gone and Dave Cavill's focused really pretty much primarily on the ballpark. If he wants to keep these guys, he needs to get his butt in gear and do it. He should have done it by now. But if he wants to keep them, he's going to have to do something fairly soon.
John Fisher getting his butt in gear and doing anything proactive on behalf of his franchise is basically a non-existent action. So we're now waiting for him to do again something that he hasn't even done once. Okay, good luck with that. Don't hold your breath. Very interesting. Very interesting stuff from Susan. And again, we'll get to her at 6:45. We got A's at the Padres tonight. The A's can't win games in the American League West. Maybe they can win games in the National League West. This is John in Fairfield. John, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Dan, appreciate the time. So I wanted to talk about the Susan Slusser report. I've been an A's fan since the mid-'80s, since I was a kid. And, you know, I agree with, you know, the turnover maybe at Billy Beane, and that's fine. I love Bob Melvin as a coach. I think he's done amazing things with the A's, with the limited funds, with the limited talent he's had, and with the trades Billy is always making. I would hate to see him go. I was definitely surprised by the report today. I do think if they all do go, I think Melvin would be a great pickup by the Giants. I think he's a great play, great manager. He's been
Melvin's good with veterans. He's good with rookies. He's good with guys who are trying to resuscitate their careers. Like, he knows how to push the buttons.
Yeah, you know, he's the manager of the year in both leagues. He just said, he knows how to push all the right buttons. In regards to John Fisher, I mean, as a longtime A's fan, you know, we've had our fair share of owner issues, and Lou Wolfe now gone finally, and Dave Cavill, I think, has been a breath of fresh air into the organization with the whole stadium search. But overall, you know, it's frustrating. It's either spend the money, dive into the team, invest, do something, pay for players, or sell the team. You know, I know Lacob was mentioned in the past as being interested in buying the team. I don't know if he still is. But, you know, as a fan, it's kind of, you know, do something or sell.
Right. It's, you know, why are you letting this precious natural resource die on the vine? Like, sell it to someone who wants to do something with it. I said it earlier, John, thank you so much for the call. I am sick and tired of hearing about how much the slip costs from yacht owners. I'm tired of it. Like, shouldn't have bought the Lamborghini if you can't afford the gas and the insurance. Straight up. Maybe it's time to sell. Maybe a Lexus is where you top out. Not a Lexus, a woman. Like, a Lexus, the car. Hey, we haven't seen Alexis. Maybe she's gorgeous.
True. You never know.
Hey, we'll talk a little bit about that coming up with the Tuesday trifecta. We're going to be talking about some hot heads. We're going to have a little bit of a hot head draft. It's been a long time since we've had a draft.
I love the draft.
In the Tuesday trifecta. So we're going to have that for you coming up in just a little bit. Later this week, on Thursday, we're going to be at the Warriors facility. Bob Myers today was talking about what the Warriors plan on doing with their draft pick. They've got the 28th overall selection. You'd think, well, what do you really get in the NBA at number 28? Well, I'll remind you once again, this team found Draymond Green in the second round. They've drafted well and aggressively. They bought into rounds aggressively. They've traded up aggressively. So just saying, we already know what the Warriors are going to do is would be misleading. We have no idea what they're going to do. We know that when they see something they like, they go get it. They get very, very aggressive. Bob Myers was talking today in his pre-draft media availability about what they're looking for, and what they're looking for is usually available at the end of the first round. You don't find stars, but you do find role players. At 28.
We need role guys, complementary pieces, guys that are going to work hard, guys that are going to fit in, have one a specific skill that fits what we're looking for. But for us, I'm fortunate that we can put whoever we draft with the players we can put them with to watch Steph working out on that basket right there every day after practice, or Clay down on that one, or Kevin wherever he is. It's a luxury for us to bring a young player into this environment with Steve and his staff and kind of show them what winning looks like. If you put somebody in a good home, chances are they're going to be reared and raised well.
Absolutely. I'm dead serious. I would rather be the 28th pick in this draft than the 8th pick in this draft. The 28th overall, whoever ends up with the Golden State Warriors is, by their situation, probably more likely to have a long NBA career than whoever is picked at 8th, because they're going to get to a team that understands nurture, nature. You got real generous leaders and humble all-stars who are all about inclusion. No one's trying to turn a rookie into some subservient, you don't belong here yet sort of. I mean, like, you're just coming into as good of and well-run a situation as you can find. And situations dictate professional careers as much as talent does. There will be guys in this draft who will have more talent then whoever the Warriors take at 28. There is no one in the draft at any pick other than 28 who will walk into a better situation. Period. So we're going to be out at the Warriors facility on Thursday. Should be fun. This is Dave in Santa Clara. How are you, Dave?
Hey, D-Bruce, thanks for your time. About that, I kind of want to touch on what you were just talking about, the draft and the Warriors in general. You know, there's that notion that the Warriors kind of ruined the NBA and they got this super team, where I think the bigger issue is the development of players coming into the NBA. You have teams picking in the lottery 5-6 years in a row, nothing to show for it. If you look at football, a 4-12 team can be turned around by pick not only number one, but even number 12 in the draft. So the players that come out in college in the NBA, they're not ready. Their development system is not working. You have the same – in the NBA every year, it's four teams, maybe five, that have a real chance at the championship in football. It's over a dozen. So until they get more impact players in the NBA and say they get drafted by the Magic, in the fourth year when their contract's up, they want to get out of Orlando. They don't want to stick around. In football, they like to stick around for long haul. So they have to fix that.
Well, the incentive to stay and not jump markets is the Supermax contract, which you can only get from the team that drafted you after you've made an all-NBA team. This is why everyone's looking at the situation Kawhi Leonard's ready to walk away from in San Antonio and say, wait a minute. Not only are you walking away from Supermax money, but you're walking away from an established franchise that drips with professionalism, and you're 26 years old and you're about to walk away from the guy we all agree is, like, universally the best hands-on coach in basketball. And that's what makes this whole Kawhi thing so odd. Thank you very much, Dave, for the call. And more on the Warriors later this week, more on the draft coming up on Thursday. 888-957-9570. Two more calls, and we're going to set up the trifecta. Sound good? Good. Dan is in Fremont. What do you got, Dan?
Hey, Dave. Hey, last night's Giants game pretty much spelled out what's always been the problem in the closer situation. Not only is it talent, it's also Bochy. Bochy, they clean house on the bench coaches, and yet last night with a two-run lead, anyone watching that game as a Giants fan knew that Strickland was going to somehow screw the pooch. All right, and that's exactly what he did. And as soon as that first guy got on, if you watch that game, you can see the video, Bochy started getting all antsy, but wouldn't get the pin up. Oh, no. And then all of a sudden, when it got really dire, the bench coach then fell in the dugout, get to the phone to get him up. And then he blew it, lost the lead, and then he wouldn't even pull him initially, you know, at that point to close it down, and they gave up the lead when it was tied. Bochy's got to go. Melvin can come in. Mickey Mouse can come in. I'm telling you right now, the talent of the Giants isn't the greatest, but it's better. It's just not being coached correctly.
Look at it this way. So the guy who won three World Series with very little now has got to go.
What has he done for me lately? That's what professional sports is all about. When I go slap down $300 for tickets and I watch this guy mosey out there when the game is busted open because he didn't make the move he had to do, that's great. I appreciate everything he did in the past, but the past is the past.
There you go. Dan, what have you done for me lately? It's been 4 years since 2014. There's no doubt. Thank you very much. Renegade calling from Antioch.
Hey, look, I've been calling for Bob Melvin's ouster ever since the play-in game in 2014. I can break that game down and have done it in nauseam at my sleep for every move that he made, considering Lester, you know, after the trade and what he did with Lester and why he went to start Lester in the eighth inning, but all Grady Reynolds.
I still don't know why. I still don't know why they didn't ask Lester to throw over to first a little bit more.
Yeah. Unbelievable. You know, how's that for a stat, though? But anyway, look, good guy. Worked with a lot of less talented teams in Oakland, but it's been since 2014. And you know, you Bay Area fans, and I don't mean you, but just in general, you've become accepting of mediocrity. I mean, they had some good teams in 2001. You know, that time frame.
But here's the deal: like, who do you think is more responsible for holding the A's back? John Fisher's budget or Bob Melvin's decisions?
At that point, Bob Melvin's decision in 2014, regardless of what the budget was.
All right, but it's 2018. Come on. Look, dude, you just got a hard-on for Bob Melvin. Like, I don't know, I can't explain it. The guy's universally agreed upon is really good at his job. You give Bob Melvin the Yankees roster, I promise you, you're not talking about the disappointment of that 1 year, 4 years ago. And it's, I mean, stop, dude, you're living in the moment. And you look at the situation that's going on with the Giants. Bruce Bochy is at the center of your problems. I think you're looking in the wrong area for what's really going wrong. Here's what we got, though. We got ourselves a Tuesday trifecta. Our topic today is hothead, because we're going to have ourselves a hothead draft. Question number one. Who is your least favorite closer in baseball history? Oh, we love to complain about closers, especially here in the Bay Area. Who is your least favorite closer? I can tell you right now, I can think, I just can't take another minute of Armando Benitez. Ralph hated Armando Benitez so much. I got to just tell you, Armando's got to go. I hate Armando Benitez. That was just crazy. Question number one, who is your least favorite closer ever? Number two, since we're talking about hotheads, let me ask you, who's the best looking person on the planet right now? Man or woman? I'll even let you answer both. Not multiple. You can't be like, let me tell you, Damon, I've got a list of hot people. No. One man, one woman, hottest person on the planet. Who you got? Best looking person. And then, what we've all been waiting for. It's been a really, really long time since we've had a draft of any kind. Your sports hothead draft with a number one overall and memorial pick. I'm still selecting Draymond Green. I'm still selecting Draymond Green. That guy is still the Bay Area's ultimate hothead. But Hunter Strickland, you are absolutely giving Draymond a run for his money. But yeah. I'll take the championships because Draymond is a hothead and it pays off. Strickland, still not exactly paying off. So here we go. 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570. The Tuesday trifecta is coming up next. Our topic today is hothead. Number one, least favorite closer of all time. Number two, who's the best looking person on the planet? Give me a man, give me a woman. And number three, hothead draft. We take your draft pick in the order in which you call. So if you want an early pick in the draft, you better give me a call right now. 888-957-9570. If you are running into a busy signal, keep on calling. When you hear someone hang up, that line becomes available, and we just crank this out. Stay with us. Ask for it by name and accept no substitutes. The Tuesday Trifecta, a hothead draft version. Coming up next, you're on 95.7 The Game.
And suddenly over the loudspeaker, I heard...
Trifecta.
Triple.
Trifecta.
With a triple.
Trifecta.
It's the Tuesday Trifecta. One topic, three questions. Now, here's Damon Bruce.
Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome. A little Tuesday Trifecta for you. We love it each and every week. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. Today, we got it. By the way, we also got Susan Slesser joining us at 6 o'clock tonight for her straight-up sluss bomb that she dropped on the Bay Area about the future of the A's, the future of the Giants, how breaking up what we're all so used to could be linked. That's all coming up at 6 o'clock ahead of A's and Padres this evening here on 95.7 The Game. But right now we go to our Tuesday trifecta, and just to be fair, we go in the order in which you arrived as callers at 888-957-9570. Travis in Burlingame is first up in our guinea pig. Travis, are you ready to be the guinea pig, which gives you the number one overall pick in the hothead draft?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it, Travis. Number one, who is your least favorite major league closer?
Of all time, I would say as a Giants fan, I hated Armando Benitez.
Yeah, I have a feeling we might hear Armando Benitez's name a couple times in this segment here today. Who is the best-looking person on the planet? You get a man and a woman to choose from. Who you taking?
I'll say, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but Gal Gadot.
Wonder Woman. Yeah, Gal Gadot.
Good choice.
Gorgeous. Well done, sir. Man, who you got?
Myself. No, just kidding.
Travis in Burlingame is your answer. Only one answer need apply. There you go. We're basking in your handsomeness right now here, Travis. You have the first overall pick in the hothead draft. Anyone from the world of sports, who are you taking?
DeMarcus Cousins.
Boogie. Not bad. Boogie is a fine number one overall. He really is. Thank you, Travis. Well done, you handsome devil, you. We move now to Frankie in the East Bay. Frankie, thanks for the call. Who is your least favorite major league closer of all time?
Mariano Rivera.
Oh, he was good, but you had to hate him, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as an A's fan, you hate anything Yankees.
Fair enough. Who is the best-looking person on the planet? You get a man and a woman to choose from.
Yanet Garcia.
I am not familiar with the work of Yanet Garcia. We'll have Gianna Googling any and all unfamiliar, beautiful people here for me. How? What do you think, Gianna?
She is a Mexican weather reporter.
Oh, I know who she is.
Oh, yeah.
She's, weather girl? Okay.
She's got the killer rear end. Yes?
Very pretty.
Very pretty. Very okay, pretty. Now I know exactly who it is. Thank you very much. Best looking guy, who are you going with?
Damon Bruce.
Oh, Frankie.
Wow.
There's a reason why I'm on the radio, but I appreciate it. Thank you very much. You got the second overall pick in the hothead draft. Boogie Cousins is off the board. Who are you taking?
Rasheed Wallace.
They can't. The technical foul was invented just for him. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Frankie. Well done. We go to Rudy in Concord, who's next. By the way, you can hop on his line, 888-957-9570. If you weren't getting in earlier, you can hop on now. Rudy, thank you very much for the call. Who's your least favorite closer?
Hey, what's going on, Damon? As an A's fan, I'd have to go with Jim Johnson.
Jim Johnson. That just did not work out, not even for a second, right?
Not at all.
That was terrible. Who is the best-looking person on the planet? Give me a man, give me a woman.
Well, with Wonder Woman off the board, I'd have to go with Margot Robbie, I think.
Margot Robbie,
oh, yeah.
Solid. By the way, this is not a draft. If you'd like Gal Gadot, you can have Gal Gadot, which is a weird thing to say.
Well, thank you.
I feel like I'm selling poor Gal. She doesn't even know about
gal.
It. Gal. I don't want to call her a gal. She's a woman. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Very disrespectful.
Margot Robbie, good choice, though.
Margot Robbie, solid. Best looking man. Rudy, who are you going with?
Oh, I didn't even think about that one. I would also say you, Damon.
See, now
you're getting so much
love. You know what? Here's the thing. It takes a real secure man to notice another handsome man. How come we you can't answer this? Come on. I'm going to tell you right now, not gay, never have been, 1977 Paul Newman. I'd think about it.
That's a good-looking Paul Newman.
That's a good-looking man. Look at those eyes, for goodness sake. We move on, Rudy. We move on to our last pick, the hothead draft. You have the third pick. Who you taking? All-time sport hothead.
I'd have to say last and definitely least would be Milton Bradley.
Milton Bradley. He doesn't believe in dinosaurs. He thinks the earth is flat, I believe. He breaks his own leg arguing with his own first base coach. He is a special case. Rudy, thank you very, very much. We go to Haz. Haz is next from Napa. Haz, welcome to you. Who's your least favorite Major League closer?
It's got to be Eric Gagne, for sure.
Eric Gagne. Do you think he was on steroids? He might have been on steroids. Maybe. Best looking person on the planet. Give me a man, give me a woman, Haz.
So, for sure, and it's Haz, but I'm going to go for a man. It's going to be David Beckham, no doubt.
Okay. Look at it this way. Gianna's just nodding,
totally
so that
agree.
Means you did a good job with your answer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to see him at the royal wedding dressed up. Come on.
He looked good.
Next, and then for the girl, it's going to be Miss Andy. From Game of Thrones, Natalie Emmanuel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Very pretty.
The interpreter, hot interpreter gal. I love her.
Yeah.
Well done. With the fourth pick of the hothead draft, where are you going, Haz?
I'm going to go with Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, well, I meant from the world of sports, but you know what? He is such a prick. Haz, he's such a prick. We'll take it. Thank you very much. Even though it's a little bit of a reach for TV, like I don't think Gordon Ramsay is bowing up on jacked up delivery guys. Like he'll only yell at you if you're another fat chef loser in his kitchen.
I don't know. He definitely is a hothead.
I bet he's a hothead when the company's right to be a hothead in. I bet you put Gordon Ramsay and San Quentin on the line, he would be that That's spicy to anybody.
That could change things.
He's like kitchen level hothead, which means I'm not that intimidated.
Gotcha.
But we'll take it. We'll take Gordon Ramsay only because it's clever and you thought of it. And we love outside the box thinkers. You're on 95.7 game. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Patrick is in Hayward. Next in line for the Tuesday trifecta. Patrick, thank you very much for the call. Who's your least favorite Major League closer?
Guy who gave it up for us every single time he got on the mound, Rick Honeycutt. Oh. Worst.
Best-looking person on the planet. Give me a man, give me a woman.
I don't watch a lot of TV, don't get out much. You know, you're sitting next to one of them, but on the news, I watch a lot of Kristen Z.
Kristen Z. There,
Channel 7, KGO, right? Feel,
okay, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Gianna's a close second. I mean, Gianna's right there. She was doing the news. It'd be Gianna because I watch a lot of news.
There you go.
I occasionally fill in on Channel 5, KPIX. Just
there you go. You're watching the wrong channel there, Patrick, is what we're trying to tell you. But you're listening to the right channel, so that's all that matters. Hot head draft. You get the 5th overall pick. Who are you taking?
I wanted Milton Bradley, but since Milton's off the table, I'm going with one instant where he got the guy off his mound. Get off my mound. Dallas Braden.
Do not walk on his mound if you're Alex Rodriguez.
Get off my mound.
And here's the thing. It's not like he was yelling at a utility player. He went after A-Rod, which was great. And why we love – by the way, we had Dallas Braden on yesterday. He was fantastic. If you missed it, go ahead and check out the podcast. Jeff in Sunnyvale, next in line. Jeff, who's your least favorite closer?
Well, I was going to go with Eric Gagne as well, but I'm going to also say Brian Wilson, just as for him going to L.A. at that time. I know he came back and tried to get his redemption, but Brian Wilson.
There you go. Fair enough. Once you turn your back on the Giants fans, they turn your back on you. Who is the best-looking person on the planet? Give me a man. Give me a woman.
Well, for a man, I'm drawing a blank on him. When we're talking about Wonder Woman, he played the guy Aquaman. I'm drawing a blank on him, though.
Oh, he also played Khal Drogo, the guy who...
Yeah.
The guy from Game of Thrones. Big guy, jacked up, hairy.
Jason Momoa?
Yeah, he's a Samoan guy. Yeah, all right. Yeah, you get that, so you like him beefy, Jeff. Who's your gal?
Well, I know it's 2018, not 2008, but I'm still hooked on Jennifer Lopez forever.
Oh, see, Miho.
Excellent choice.
Spicy taco kisses, of course.
She still looks good.
Yeah, J-Lo's still got it. Again, here's another chance to make an A-Rod reference. A-Rod walked all over that mound, too. Jeff, let's go ahead and move on to your hothead draft pick. You hit the 6th overall.
Well, before there was a Meta World Peace, there was a crazy Ron Ron.
Oh, Ronnie Artest. You know it. Ron Artest. The king of crazy for just a minute there, A-R-T.
You can't top that. I mean.
Mm-mm. No, you can't teach crazy. Like, you can't teach speed. You can't teach height. You can't teach crazy.
You're brawling with the fans,
it's
another level.
Yeah, Ron Artest tried to get into a fight with Detroit. Not a guy in Detroit.
But the whole
city. He tried to fight Detroit. It was pretty impressive. We go to Tom in San Francisco. Tom, thank you for the call. Who's your least favorite Major League closer?
You got to go with Crazy Train Fernando Rodney.
Even the way he tilts his cap. Oh, people hate that, right?
Completely.
Best looking person on the planet, man or woman? Who you got?
I'll go with the team of Chadwick Boseman and got to go Queen Bee.
There you go. Hot heads draft. You get the 7th overall pick, sir. Who you taking?
Got to go with the strategic hothead with the new coming in the 49ers. We've got ourselves Richard Sherman.
Oh, Richard Sherman. Yeah. He doesn't. How does that Crabtree like it now? Absolutely. Richard Sherman still scaring the hell out of Aaron Andrews somewhere. Thank you very much. I like it. Richard Sherman. Yeah. A strategic hothead. He picks and chooses his moments. Great answer. Really good answer. Albie, I don't think you need any more calls. We just want to take everyone that we still have here. I don't want to set people up for disappointment. So we'll just take the remaining calls. We got 4 left, which will bring us to 12 picks in our draft. 8, 9, 10, 11. Sorry, I got to write this down. I should have prepared. But, you know, here we are. I had to borrow Gianna's pen to even do the segment. Isn't that right?
Yes, you did.
I'm a journalist. Let's go to Felix in San Francisco. Felix, thank you very much for the call. Who's your least favorite Major League closer?
Jonathan Papelbon. I can't even stand looking at the guy.
Oh, the way he, like, bends over at the hip and he, like, tries to, like flare up like a cobra. I didn't like Papelbon either. Yeah, Bryce Harper, I don't think, likes Jonathan Papelbon. Who is the best-looking man, best-looking woman on the planet?
Not even fair. Bradley Cooper. Guy's one good-looking guy.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper's a good-looking guy. Yeah.
Yep.
A woman?
Gabriel Union.
Oh, Gabrielle. Gabrielle Union. Yeah, beautiful woman. And by the way, didn't she just? It's Dwayne Wade's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wife.
She's also she got a little freaky deaky.
She's very open and honest.
Yeah.
About their
okay.
Personal life.
Eighth overall pick in the Hothead Draft, Felix. What do you got?
I'm going old school, Lou Piniella.
Lou, sweet Lou, Lou Piniella. Nobody except maybe Earl Weaver covered home plate with dirt, quite like Lou Piniella. He used to love kicking up a dirt storm. Very, very good. Lou Piniella. Nice. All right, we got Jeff in Hayward next in line. Jeff, thank you very much for the call. Least favorite major league closer?
I would say Dennis Eckersley when he blew the home run against Gibson and against L.A., no good.
Dennis Uppers Deckersley, come on, yeah, no doubt about it. He went on to have an okay career. He would rebound from that moment.
Yeah, good guy, but that one was the harpoon in his heart there, the one that got away.
Best-looking man on the planet, best-looking woman on the planet.
I'm going old school, the woman, Christie Brinkley.
Solid.
Still hot to this day.
I think Christie Brinkley might be throwing down the single most beautiful woman resume from birth to her 70s than any woman has ever thrown down. Christie Brinkley is possibly living the most beautiful lifetime of our lives.
Now for the man, I'm going old school again, George Hamilton. He's been doing it for like 60 years. I know he's older now, but he always got a tan.
He always has a tan.
He's so good looking, they still got him in Kentucky Fried Chicken commercials. Are you kidding me?
Two good choices.
Yeah, very solid. You're teaching the kids, Jeff. So, Hothead Draft, ninth overall pick. Lou Piniella just went off the board. I can feel you working old school. What do you got, Jeff?
Come on. We're going to go tennis. John McEnroe, ultimate.
Excellent. Oh,
let me tell you, you could have taken Johnny Mack, number one overall. I mean, you really could have. That is value at nine, Jeff. You are the Bob Myers of this draft. Yeah, outstanding. Final call of the draft before Gianna and I start weighing in with our hotheads and our beefcake. Jason in Livermore. How are you, Jason?
Doing great. Great day outside. Beautiful day, Can't complain.
Outstanding. Who is your least favorite major league closer?
Oh, I was going to say Kanye, but I got taken earlier. Just feels evil, just mean.
Yeah, it's not a draft. You can take Eric Gagne if you hate him. I'm going to tell you right now, I hated Eric Gagne too. He's on my list.
There you go.
There you go. Let's just all hate Eric Gagne together for 30 seconds, shall we? God, I hated that guy.
Ready, go.
Oh, that was the worst. He took steroids. Dodgers. All right, now let's move on. We got the best-looking man on the planet, the best-looking woman. Who you taking, Jason?
Gotta go with the Gucci Gang, Jimmy G.
Oh, well done. Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang. Ladies?
Yeah, that's a really, really hard one for me, especially. It's gotta be Lauren German from Lucifer.
I'm unfamiliar with the work, but thank you very much for a new name to Google. And now, with the final pick, the 10th overall Jason of the Hothead Draft, who you taking?
Alzado from the Raiders back in the day.
Oh, Lyle Alzado. Sure. Yeah.
That's one of the guys you just don't want to look like sideways.
Absolutely. Like Lyle wasn't here to make friends, and he didn't. He was a beast. Thank you very much for the call. Well done. Well done.
Very good stuff.
Our Hothead Draft ends up Boogie Cousins, Rasheed Wallace, Milton Bradley, Gordon Ramsay, Dallas Braden for telling A-Rod to take a hike. Ron Artest, Richard Sherman, Lou Piniella, Johnny McEnroe, Lyle Alzado. With the 11th overall pick, Damon Bruce selects Robert Montgomery Knight, former head coach, Indiana University. I feel good about that pick at 11.
I think it's a good one.
By the way, I did have an Earl Weaver reference. Unless you know exactly who I'm talking about, kids, especially kids, like if you're a teenager right now and you've never heard of Earl Weaver was the old Baltimore Orioles manager, and no one argued with umpires better than Earl Weaver. He turned it into an art form. Look it up, kids. Earl Weaver. Ha! He hated bad calls from umpires. Other hotheads, yes, George Brett, Bill Laimbeer, Dennis Rodman. There's a ton out there. Hockey, Ty Domi, Tony Twist. Oh, man, there are a ton out there. Bob Probert.
I had Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Yeah. Also,
multiple arrests for assault. I'm going with him having a very short fuse.
All right. Now let's get to the juicy part of it, the beefcake. Gianna, hottest man, hottest woman on the planet. Who you got?
In honor of the World Cup, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh.
Nobody picked him. So handsome. He's all over the news these days.
Hat trick.
My.
Guarda lo que devuelve para Javier. Va Chicharo, si cruza, está Chucky, viene el primero, viene, viene, viene. Engancha para pegarle, viene.
Good times. Cristiano Ronaldo will accept that.
And then for my ladies, I'm going to go with Khaleesi, Emilia Clarke.
Very beautiful. Very, very beautiful woman. I got to go with my wife.
Oh, good answer. Good answer.
Right.
Dang it. Damn it. Why did I say my husband? Demon.
Lindsay Pelis. Look it up, kids.
Yeah, she's pretty.
By the way, if you like Braille, she can help you count to two. Wow. I'm going with Lindsay Pelis, and like I already said, I might sleep with a 1970 Paul Newman.
Yeah, handsome.
Yeah, not gay, but I might sleep with 1970 Paul Newman. That's a good-looking man. Eric Gagne, least favorite closer. Bob Knight was my hothead pick. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm really surprised we didn't get an Idris Elba out
of you.
He's
on my list.
I know that is your guy.
He's my top Island 5, definitely.
Nice. Very, very nice. Hey, thank you very much to everyone who called in for the Tuesday Trifecta. Great stuff. Susan Slusser dropped the sluss bomb on us, and we're going to talk to her about it next on 95.7 The Game. Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. Welcome to your 6 o'clock hour. We're about to get you out to a little A's baseball, and ooh, the A's baseball pot certainly got stirred by Susan Slusser yesterday late in our show. She broke the article that an awful lot of people are talking about today from the San Francisco Chronicle. We're thrilled to have her back on. Susan, how are you?
I am great, Damon. It's wonderful to be back on the air with you.
Good to have you. Man, you dropped a little bit of a bombshell in this article because, you know, we look at certain things as just givens with the Oakland A's. And certainly Billy Beane is among them. And to even ponder a future without him, it's something that I don't think anybody has done. And you're reporting that the Oakland A's might be doing that right now.
Yeah. I mean, really all you have to do is look at his contract history and what his contract status is right now. And it's not just him. It's David Forst and it's Bob Melvin, too. It's very unusual in baseball to have prominent members of the organization only signed through the following year, particularly when it's somebody like Billy Beane. You look at past deals, he signed them 3 or 4 years in advance. Same with Melvin until last year. And, of course, you know, this last offseason when the A's don't allow Melvin to interview for the Yankees job, when the Yankees called and asked specifically for that to happen, and they did not at that point engaged in any new contract. You know, that in baseball, if you're going to deny somebody an opportunity to talk to another team, particularly somebody like the Yankees, you got to, you know, sweeten it a little bit for them, you know, that you're not letting them do that, compensate them in some fashion, and not even any talks with Melvin. So, yeah, this could be, I could see 1, 2, or even 3 of them no longer being with the team after next year very easily.
And very odd behavior with Melvin. You're correct. I mean, to not extend a guy if you didn't deny him opportunity to look elsewhere, it is weird. But hey, you know, business around the A's has always been a little bit of an odd duck. When you look at all of this, Susan, are you piecing together what you think is really strong circumstantial evidence, or are you hearing real whispers from the people who tell you tales when recorders aren't on?
I've been hearing whispers for a long time on all of this. And I've been asking the people who should be asked about when are contracts going to be possible. As you see, I talked to Dave Cavill. I've talked to a lot of other people. The fact that they have not been in the offing, and we're here in late June of 2018, that's, you know, at some point I thought, I'm going to have to write this because it's starting to get to crunch time. What I hope is that John Fisher looks at this, because he's clearly calling all the shots these days, particularly with now Lou Wolf is gone and Dave Cavill's focused really pretty much primarily on the ballpark. If he wants to keep these guys, he needs to get his butt in gear and do it. He should have done it by now. But if he wants to keep them, he's going to have to do something fairly soon.
Or maybe, just maybe, as your column suggested, the silence is deafening. Susan Slusser.
Yeah.
From the San Francisco Chronicle here on 95.7 The Game. We got A's and Padres coming up. Uncle Townie will have your pregame show in just a little bit. So, how does Billy's position of ownership, Susan, muddle what would be availability to become a front office free agent if indeed the A's moved on or he moved on? If his next move even kept him in Major League Baseball, how would his position of ownership come into play?
It complicates it enormously. If he goes to any other team, automatically he's going to a competitor. So either current ownership would have to pay out his shares, which, I mean, everyone knows the valuations of pro sports teams now. It's 100 millions to billions. Even a 4% ownership stake is going to be a big chunk of change. You know they don't want to do that. They also probably don't want to let him sell those shares on an open market because they like to control everybody who's part of an ownership group. So if they don't allow either of those things to happen, if they won't do the first or allow the second, then the commissioner probably has to get involved because essentially then you're restricting somebody's ability to find another job when he's not under contract to you. So that could be a real headache and very interesting. And Billy might emerge. He's already a very wealthy man. He might very, very wealthy indeed.
Yeah, and maybe he goes across the pond and dabbles in soccer or whatever his other interests may lie. I mean, he's been a baseball lifer for a very long portion of his life. The man's got curiosities and an awful lot of pile of money to be working from, for sure about that. If, Susan, all dominoes did start to fall, what would it mean for David Forst? Would he be falling up a la Brian Sabian fell up the corporate ladder?
Well, I certainly hope if the A's retain only one, David Forst would make a lot of sense. They've started this rebuild to get rid of all the leadership essentially in the middle of a rebuild that they've orchestrated would be absurd. I could very easily see Forst staying and being the head honcho and Billy staying in an advisory role. And as you're saying, maybe, get more heavily involved in European soccer, et cetera, things like that, or finding something else. But what I can also see, and I mentioned this in the story, is you look across the bay and the entire leadership of the Giants, they're all up after next year, too. And I've heard from both sides, inside the Giants and inside the A's, a lot of speculation. Hey, what happens? Maybe they might look over and go, Billy Bean doesn't have a contract. That would be kind of fun. Or Bob Melvin, my goodness, if Bruce Bochy decides that he wants to step down, can you envision anybody better to take over the Giants than somebody from Menlo Park who played for the Giants, played at Cal, managed the A's? They've already got Kurt Young. And that I could very realistically see happening.
Yeah, Bob Melvin absolutely could be a post-Bochy thought. And it's amazing. We're having a conversation, Susan, about things that have just been so ingrained, like Billy Bean is A's canon, Bruce Bochy is Giants canon, to even think about moving on from them and how it might be an interplay across the bridge, possibly. It's really something else. You have dizzied up a baseball market here with this column.
Well, you guys were spending all your time talking about the Warriors. I figure maybe give you a little chance to talk about the A's again.
Seriously, I haven't seen anyone box out the NBA Finals and a parade quite like your column in a long time. Strong play, Susan.
I figure the timing was right. Yes. Time to take it for everybody to pay attention to the A's again.
Indeed, indeed. If we're going extensions, how would you do it? Obviously, Forst would be your chosen. Would you then go to Melvin next, or is it really Billy Bean as the puppet master, and it'd be crazy to think about life without a puppet master?
I've covered this team, and Billy's essentially his entire time as in charge of the A's. He's brilliant. He changed the game in many ways. If I'm the A's, I would think he's a very valuable asset. I would try to find a way to keep him in some capacity. David Forst he's also brilliant and has been very good at his job. He's proven that. He's certainly capable of running the team, essentially, as the number one guy. The change in titles a couple of years ago, as everyone knows, was really just titles only. Billy still calls all the shots. But If they could have Forrest running the whole show with Billy sort of on hand and, you know, lending an ear when needed, that to me is ideal. But absolutely, I wrap up Bob Melvin. He is wonderful with older teams. He's wonderful with younger teams. He's a Bay Area guy. He's absolutely loyal. I think they would really be losing a trick if they let Melvin go. You know what? They didn't let him interview with the Yankees because they didn't want to lose him.
Right.
So why are they dragging their heels on doing what they should have done back in December?
Susan Slusser here on 95.7 The Game. This is a really, really interesting moment in time. There's no doubt about it. You know, it's funny. We were just talking about baseball the other day, and I was talking about how the game has sort of fallen behind just the way that cool marching is marching in society with sharing video, embedded stuff, the way that we had that unbelievable piece of audio between Hallian and Collins, and then it was scrubbed from the internet due to baseball's wishes. As a past president, Susan, of the BBWA, what responsibility do you think the writers have to baseball's popularity or maybe even the lack thereof? What role do the writers play in making baseball cool again, more approachable, less intimidating? What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think everybody who covers baseball, writer, broadcaster, anybody involved in baseball media is always trying to highlight the strengths of the game. It's not always possible. Baseball has tripped over its own feet, you know, numerous times here over the last couple of years, and you also can't sweep some of that stuff under the carpet. But, you know, there are some interesting things going on in the game. I think the fact that, especially among baseball writers, there are a lot of new and younger writers who focus on things like analytics and trying to make analytics a little more digestible, maybe for the general public. I think those things are good, looking at things a different way. The paces play stuff, you know, everybody writes about it, talks about it. I don't know how much that actually winds up doing for baseball's popularity. You know, things like the shift and the high number of strikeouts and et cetera. I think that's creating maybe a little bit of disinterest in baseball. You can go to a game now, Damon, and spend 10 or 15 minutes without seeing the ball put in play at all.
Right.
That to me is a problem. How baseball writers address that, I don't know. And certainly I think every outlet has discussed some of those issues. But we don't have the power to change anything, or I think a lot of things in the sport would be very different and would have been, you know, 20 years ago with some of the things going on.
Always a pleasure to talk baseball with you. Thank you so much. Great stuff. I hope you got all the clicks and you guys are all high-fiving over at the Chronicle. Fantastic, fantastic article. Thought-provoking as the day is long. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you very much, Damon. Talk to you soon.
Well, if that doesn't get you ready for a little A's baseball, A's Padres, no less, I don't know what could. Hopefully, you plan on sticking around. Uncle Townie's coming up next with your pregame show. Thanks to Susan for stopping by today. Thanks to Alex Pavlovich, Tony Bruno, everyone who called in for the Tuesday trifecta. Really good stuff, you hotheads. Appreciate it very, very much. Albie, thank you. Elena, merci beaucoup. C'est si bon, mademoiselle. And Gianna, come on. Wouldn't want to do it without you. As always, thank you so much. Talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Get out of here!
Hothead.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.